Say for Matthew. Matthew 23. Amen. Matthew 23 and 15. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more a child of hell. That's worse, isn't it? Amen. That's bad, isn't it? Is there any such thing as a religion that hinders instead of helps? Huh? A lot of it? Most of it? Oh my. Amen. Then maybe I ought to preach a little bit this morning on the religion of hell. The religion of hell. You know, today Brother Mike and I was talking about driving down the road, and I mentioned the fact that no matter what church you belong to, no matter what doctrine that you claim to believe or espouse, more and more every church is being poured into the same mold. Amen. More and more, regardless of what they argue they believe, they're all living the same way. Huh? I present to you the possibility, could it be that they've all been brainwashed with the same soap? Huh? Amen. They're all watching NBC, ABC, and CBS, and amen, UPI, CBN, and reading the same newspapers and periodicals. They're all being poured into the same mold and all been cut out of the same cookie cutter. They're all buying the same stuff and swallowing the same bill of goods. Amen. And regardless of what they say they believe, they're all winding up in the same ditch. Amen. I mean, Pentecostals, some of them used to testify, be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And it was a cardinal doctrine in their movements, various movements and denomination of Pentecost. Amen. And now I wonder what they say about the sanctified part. I wonder if they still count the sanctified ones anymore. Well, I'll tell you, the obvious answer to that question is no, they don't. Because they're not emphasizing sanctification anymore. Ain't nobody sanctified, that's the reason. Amen. They're all taking in the world. And they've got a world brand of religion. Somebody said not too far from me this morning, liberal. Amen. Bunch of liberals. They're everywhere. They're in every denomination. I mean, they chew the same brand, smoke the same brand, go to the same movies, amen, attend the same things and buy the same stuff and go to the same amusement parks. Hey, ain't no difference. However, there are some of them that are more zealous than others today. They will even compass heaven and earth to make one proselyte. Amen. And after they've made him, they tell him that now you're a proselyte to our church. We got your name on the book. We baptized you. And now you can't never be lost. Don't worry about your failures and sinning a little bit every day, because everybody sins a little bit every day. Amen. And now then we've got a whole church full of sinning Christians. They even admit it. And they're not trying to keep from it, because they say we're not keeping ourselves. It doesn't matter what we've done, according to Swindoll last week, our position remains the same in Christ. No matter what we've done. Amen. We still maintain our position in Christ. Amen. And our relationship with God is one of position more than it is a lifestyle or anything else. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm talking about religions of hell. Is there any such a thing? If there is, amen. If all the churches are being poured into the same mold, we need to examine ourselves. We need to know whether we be in Christ, except we be reprobates. Amen. The Bible says that you're a peculiar people, zealous of good works, and loves not the world, either the things that are in the world. If you want to get the average John Doe church member red in the face, you just preach about his worldliness. Amen. And you're on the way out, as far as he's concerned. Amen. Just preach about his or her worldliness. Amen. Hallelujah. There's no Bible standards anymore. It's the world standards that count. It's being in style that counts. Amen. I mean, all being poured in the same mold. All coming out walking the same way. All coming out looking the same way. Hey, can you tell any difference in them? Amen. You can't. Amen. They say we're reaching the world. I wonder if it's not just backwards. The world has reached them. I wonder who converted who. Amen. The preacher that said when the Church of God threw out all the standards and embraced all the worldliness, all the makeup, all the jewelry, threw out the standards of modesty, threw out the standards of the differences between women and men in hairstyle, etc., etc. And the preacher said, thank God we can grow now. I wonder which way he's growing. Down or up? Amen. Amen. And I'm telling you today that there's some religion today that's like an ingrown hair. It's growing backwards instead of forwards. Amen. It's like an ingrown toenail. It's a hindrance instead of a help. Amen. Oh God, I'm talking about the religion of hell. And here it is. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more a child of hell. Because the hardest thing in the world to win today is a professed Christian. Amen. They'll tell you, well, I go to such and such a church, or I belong to such and such a church. And I talked to Wes DeHart about his soul in Alto Paso, Illinois, in Roy Hickam's store, amen, on Tuesday, about 10 o'clock. Amen. And he said, I go to the Baptist church when I go. Amen. And I thought, well, if he belongs to Baptist church, I shouldn't be trying to proselyte him over to the Pentecost church, because a Baptist pastor at little one-horse town was not too far off and was friendly. Amen. I considered him a friend, and hey, I didn't want the name of proselyting my friends, members. Amen. But the truth is that Wes, as well as many more, was using that as a cop-out excuse. Amen. And so I left off to witness to Wes. On Saturday night at midnight, he came in. His mother heard him. Mothers are always awake when their sons come home. At 1 o'clock, she heard him struggling and went upstairs. And Wes was already in the power and grip of a massive heart attack. He didn't last long. I went to his visitation and his funeral. And his mother, with head bowed down, tears running down her face, crying, told me, if you boys had just talked to him a little, he was talking about coming to your church. And I was the last preacher that visited Wes, or talked to Wes, about his soul. Amen. He's in eternity now. He has been for 30 years and better. Amen. As far as anybody knows, lost without God. What was the church that he used as a cop-out or as a get by in my testimony to him? Amen. On Tuesday at 10 o'clock, any good to him? All it was a, pardon me for saying so, a religion of hell of sorts. Because probably unless something happened that night drastic, Wes has been in hell for 30 years and better. Amen. The hardest thing to win to God this morning is a church member. The hardest thing to win to God is somebody that has put on the front, put on the dog for years. Several years ago, Sister Collins and I, this is before Kim Renee was born. Amen. We went down to Water Valley, Kentucky to hold a revival for Brother Wayne Owens. And he had invited us down, and we didn't know that they'd had a terrible ice storm and all the power was out. And I drove right through Water Valley, just a little old one-horse town, you know, with welcome and goodbye on the same sign. And I drove through it without knowing that I drove through Water Valley. It was so dark. And I got clear down to the Tennessee border, ready to go into Tennessee. Amen. Still on the Fulton, Kentucky side, maybe. Amen. Just about to go into Tennessee, and I said, why? We're so far back in the sticks that they don't even have electricity yet. There's a coal oil lamp sitting in the window. And we went to that door and knocked and asked where Water Valley, Kentucky was. Said, you went through it. And he said, the power's out, and we don't have any. That's why I missed it. There wasn't any lights on. Amen. And so we went back. We finally found the pastor, and he was staying with a fine elderly couple, and found out later that couple practically raised Wayne and Maxine's two daughters when he was out preaching and gone. Why, those girls would stay with that elderly couple and was mother and father to them in their children days, in their young days. And, amen. Later on, we held revival in that church and got acquainted with them a little better. Well, in fact, that week we held revival. The power got turned back on, and everybody got back home, and everybody got back to normal, and we had a revival that week there in Water Valley, Kentucky. In fact, while I was there, revival. A young fellow that I'd seen out in Bristol, Oklahoma, but didn't know him very well yet, came by and visited our revival one night. And I talked to him back in the congregation and shook hands with him again. Still didn't know him very good, and my conversation didn't go very far with him. Amen. But I had got to talk a little more and a little closer with Havis Crawford. He still couldn't carry on a conversation much when he wasn't under the anointing. He still stuttered a whole lot, but when he finally got it said, he had something worth saying. And he came by our revival, Sister Collins, if you remember, while we was there at Water Valley, Kentucky one night, and Brother Owens casually made mention of him being a visitor in the service that night. Amen. Years later, After the old gentleman that was the dad of the old couple that kept brother and sister Owens' kids, and he had served as deacon in the church or trustee or something through the years. Years and years later, he came down to die. And they found out on his dying bed that he had never got saved. Amen. And nobody knew it. He acted like a Christian. He went to church all the time. He talked like a Christian. But church to him was just the front. Amen. He wasn't saved. Oh, religion is one thing, but salvation is another. We have got to get saved. We have got to get right with God. We have got to make a commitment to Christ. Amen. And that dear old dad got saved on his deathbed and could have been enjoying the blessings of God all these years in a real and a wonderful way. Amen. Saul was like that. Amen. He prospered in the Jews' religion. Well, amen. That's not exactly the term he used. He said in Galatians 1:14, 13 and 14, "For you have heard of my conversation in the past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion." That's what a lot of folks are looking for in a church, one that they can profit in. "Profited in the Jews' religion above my equals, in my own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers." Amen. Zeal? Yes. Religion? Yes. Amen. But Paul said later on, it was dung. Amen. "I counted it all but dung." And do you know what much that is tagged with religion is today? It's dung. And if the folks ever get saved and make it to heaven, they're going to have to count it as dung. Amen. I walked up Brother Powell's brother in Barville, Kentucky. Amen. And I wasn't acquainted with Clifford too well. And he introduced himself as Clifford. And I said, "Oh, praise God." I said, "Come out and be with us in church." And he said, "You see, I'm a Catholic." I didn't know the whole story yet. I didn't know that he married a Catholic girl. And because he got mad at his dad, put all his kids in a Catholic school. And didn't bring his kids up in the old-time religion of his mother and father. Amen. So here I am talking to him first time on the street. Amen. Clifford told me, he said, "You see, I'm a Catholic." I said, "That don't hurt." I said, "God will save Catholics just same as he will anybody." Amen. And he laughed at that retort. And he said, "I hope I'm already saved." But it took the hospital. It took the bitter pain of heart attack. I mean, he literally screamed in the hospital in pain. It took the agonies of death, Mike Allen, until Clifford Powell came back to the God of his fathers and the God of his mothers. Oh, I tell you today, there's a lot of folks that's hiding behind the church. They're even calling themselves Pentecost. They even pose as having greater light and quote, "We're in the Word." But you know all their religion is doing? It's giving them license for the world and the love of the world and all of the sins and all the carnality that they once preached against and refused and turned away. They're embracing now whole hog. Amen. And you know what it's going to take? If a bunch of them go to heaven, it's going to take the bitter pains of death. It's going to take a long sick spell like that brother that got in the hospital in Louisville, Kentucky. Took him a long time to die, but on his dying bed, he got really saved, and he said, I'm glad for cancer. I'm glad I had a long sick spell, because if I hadn't have, I wouldn't have got saved. What was wrong with him? He had a religion that was going to take him right down the road to hell. It's terrible to be lost in a heathen land. It's terrible to be lost if you're a Hottentot. It's terrible to be lost if you're a man-eater in the Hebrides. Amen. It's terrible to be lost no matter where you are in the world. But it's even worse to be lost in the house of God. And Saul was lost in church. The religion of the Jews. Oh, he said, I prospered in the religion of the Jews. Well, amen. That wasn't exactly the term he used. I profited in the religion of the Jews. Amen. Is there any such thing in this day of corruption as pure religion? Amen. Is there anything in the Bible such as pure religion? Amen. Praise God. I think so. Let's turn to James chapter 1. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. James chapter 1 and verse 27. I'll read 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. What makes impure religion? It's people willingly deceiving their own heart. Amen. There's a preacher that preached what they wanted to hear and helped them to do it. And they deceive their own heart. Can you deceive your own heart? Sure you can. And still pray. Sure you can. And still go to church. Sure you can. And there's a whole bunch of them talking in tongues of a sort. Huh? Amen. If you don't watch them, they'll out-talk you. Because they can talk in tongues anytime they want to. If you don't believe it, ask them. One of them got in the car with me one day and said, I can talk in tongues anytime I want to. You want to hear me? Amen. No, no, no. I'm not interested in that kind of gibberish. I'm interested in the spontaneous move of the real Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Amen. Deceiving his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Maybe it'd have been a little nicer if I'd have said vain religion. But what is vain religion except religion that comforts you while you go to hell? Thus I say religion of hell. Pure religion. Ah, there is such a thing. And undefiled before God and the Father is this. Ah, there is such a thing. To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And that don't mean to go by and knock on the door and say, howdy, how do you do? You get along all right? Goodbye. Visit means to help them. Amen. We want God to visit us, don't we? We want to just poke his head in the door and say goodbye. Amen. Say, God visited us Sunday morning. We want him to come by and heal. We want him to come by and bless. We want him to come by and pour out his spirit. Praise God. And Joseph said, the God of our fathers will visit you. And when he does, don't leave my bones in Egypt. Praise God. But take my bones with you. They embalmed Joseph and kept him in a coffin embalmed and ready to go when God visits his people. Amen. And God, when he visits, he leads out. Amen. visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. There's some places it might not be too bad that you can't go to because it spots you with the world. In some places it may not be all that bad. You don't need to be going because, amen, if people see you there, they say, well, so-and-so's going, it's all right. And because you were there, it seemed to put its approval upon this world that we're talking about. Amen. That John said, don't love the world. Neither the things are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not him. That's what caused Demas to leave the ministry and leave Paul. Amen. Demas hath forsaken me and departed unto Thessalonica, having loved this present world. Amen. Man's wife backslid lately, and she told him that she'd live with him if he had completely divorce himself from all wholeness people and never have anything to do with them anymore. Amen. That's happened many times. Did you know it? Many times. Because when the world gets a hold of a person, there's a spirit so strong there, the deception is so strong there, the delusion is so strong there. Amen. And you, when the world creeps into the church, anybody that would dare preach like I'm preaching this morning takes his life in his hands in some churches. Amen. I mean, literally, here in the United States, I've known friends that pastor churches begin to preach a little standard and preach a little stuff and got the church boss stirred up. And then he in turn got his unsaved kids stirred up. Amen. And they were sitting outside when it come time to go to church with their knives out whittling when he came to church. Them sinners was. Amen. They was taken up for their mama inside the church. Amen. He said he didn't even get out of the car. He said to his wife, said, you go in and take my resignation into him. Amen. And she took his resignation in. Amen. It's 4 hours drive from here. It's not all that far. Amen. Down the road. Amen. And you think it can't happen in the United States of America? It has and will more and more. Amen. I'm preaching about the religion of hell. I'm talking about these old moss-backed toads that have took refuge in the so-called church and even under the guise of Pentecost. And once in a great while, they even go by the name holiness. The scribes and the Pharisees was one of the strictest sect. Paul said, I was raised a Pharisee, the strictest sect. Man, you talk about holiness, he had a standard. And he said, I profited in that religion. Amen. But I wasn't saved. And I had to count it but dung to win Christ. Amen. False profession is a dangerous thing. Because you can die and go to hell and thinking you're all right. It's a dangerous thing. Amen. And thousands are doing it. Man, zeal. Yeah, Paul said, I had a zeal. Persecuted the church. Amen. Profited in the Jews' religion. I mean, he was going whole hog for his quote, end quote, holiness movement. Amen. On the way to Damascus when the Lord struck him down. Amen. And said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Amen. Who art thou, Lord? Amen. And Saul changed from religion to salvation. Saul changed from religion to reality. Hallelujah. And isn't it wonderful this morning that if we want to, we can change from religion to reality. We can change from false profession, zealous profession, working profession to something that's going to do some good. We can save souls instead of causing them to be lost. We can save souls instead of giving them a religion and a name, amen, and a job in the church, and them still lost. Amen. Amen. The man that wrote the book, I don't remember his name. I remember it after I got done preaching. Amen. Seemed like his name was Thomas or Thompson. I can't remember. Amen. But anyway, he wrote the book, 30 Years, A Watchtower Slave. And he said he dedicated it to his father, who on his dying bed, amen, looked up at his son with our closet stacked full of watchtower literature. And he said, we was working, knocking on doors and selling and doing what the watchtower told us to do. Amen. And his dad on his dying bed looked up into his son and stood over his bed eyes and said, son, we've been wrong in our religion. What a horrible time to find out. But did you know that that fellow that wrote that book, 30 Years Watchtower Slave, he said, I could not get loose from it. And he said, the only way I ever did get loose from it was shut myself in the closet with not one page of Watchtower material, with not one bit of Watchtower propaganda, with nothing but a Bible. I shut myself in the closet with nothing but the Bible. Until God delivered me. Hallelujah. Amen. 30 years wasted. 30 years down the drain. 30 years teaching a gospel of selling. And the more you sell, the more possible it is that you might be one of the 144,000 that get to go to heaven. You see, according to Watchtower, only 144,000 is going to be in heaven. And since Watchtower increased to, amen, to many, 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 many more than 144,000, I don't know who's going to qualify now, but they're working awful hard to see who can sell the most to qualify the best. Amen. But I'm afraid they reached their quota a long time ago, and there's no more room for 144,000. Amen. In heaven. Great Lord, what a terrible thing. Amen. Prophesy the Lord's coming in 1914, and he didn't come. They just changed one word in their literature. Said he's coming in 1918. He didn't come then. They just changed one word in their literature. Said he's coming in 1924, and he didn't come then. Amen. Now they say he's already come, but you just didn't see him. Amen. Bad religion. Yeah. When people prophesy and don't come past, that's called false prophets, you know. You can tell whether they're right or not if their prophecy comes to pass. Praise God. Amen. Oh, yes, it's a terrible thing to be bound for 30 years in false religion, and the only way you could get loose. Why? Why do you have to get loose? Why do you have to get free? Because false religion is a demonic thing. It is a worship of devils. It is preaching for doctrines, the doctrines of men, and doctrines of devils instead of the pure truth of God's Word. Amen. How many are glad that God's able to deliver, God's able to really save, and God's able to really give us an experience with God? Stand with us this morning. God bless our broken remarks. God bless us today, Lord, lest we put your guardian canopy over us, Lord. Surround us, Lord, with the aura of your presence, Lord. That you may keep us from the false profession, from the lie, the big lie that envelops all religions today and threatens to make the church one world church. But nobody really saved. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. As they sing, the altar's open. Let's come and let's pray. Let's ask God to give us power to set men free. Not to convert men to a belief merely, but to see them genuinely, gloriously saved. Hallelujah. Be a light, children. Be a light.
What when those evening shadows